This meditation, our text for this morning's meditation, is found in your bulletin cover from Luke chapter 6. These words, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our text, the words of the Son of God speaking of his Father, the words of God, "Be merciful." What does that mean, really? What does it mean to be merciful? Well, to be merciful means not to treat somebody poorly, not to treat someone badly, not to treat someone harshly, even though they do indeed deserve to be treated poorly, or badly, or harshly, because of what they've done, or what they're doing. Mercy means not to punish someone when they deserve to be punished. Not to ignore someone when they deserve to be ignored. Not to deny someone some sort of help when they deserve to be denied that help. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful, so our text, the Word of God to us. Now, grace is the flip side of the coin upon which mercy is stamped. For grace is treating someone in a way in which they don't deserve to be treated. Grace means to treat someone well, to treat someone with respect, to treat someone with honor, even though they in no way deserve to be so treated. It is treated well, with respect, with honor. So mercy, again, is not treating someone as they deserve to be treated, and grace is treating someone as they don't deserve to be treated. So the apostolic greeting, the beginning of the Apostle John's second epistle, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." What is the gospel of Jesus, the heart of Christianity, but the proclamation of the grace and mercy of God towards us in Jesus? God's not treating us as we deserve to be treated, because that which we deserve, our suffering and death, was experienced by Jesus for us. And God's treating us as we don't deserve in giving us credit for that suffering, death of Jesus, by sending his Holy Spirit into our hearts, so that we believe this wonderful message of the gospel, of the fact that our sins are forgiven. That God is gracious. That God is merciful. That's the gospel. Now, certainly, we then rejoice that God is gracious towards us in such a way, and we too so often can be similarly gracious, forgiving the sins of those around us, showering them with our love and affection, even though, truth be told, they don't always deserve it. Being gracious? Not so difficult. But what about being merciful? What about being merciful? What about not treating others as they deserve to be treated? That is, poorly, badly, and harshly. What about that? Grace is easy. Mercy? One of the more sobering days of my life, my entire life, was the day I visited the concentration camp Buchenwald in Germany. Now, in order to enter that concentration camp there, the camp where political prisoners were sent and all who were in opposition to National Socialism in Hitler's Germany, in order to enter Buchenwald, you have to pass through a wrought iron gate, a gate in which the words were welded somehow, "Jedem das Seine." Jedem das Seine. Now, Jedem das Seine was the German translation of the last part of a Roman summary of the basic law of man in the Roman Empire. Here's that summary. The precepts of law are these: to live honestly, to injure no one, and to give to each his own. Jedem das Seine. That was the translation of the last little bit of that Roman summary of the law: to give to each his own. And so understood, that doesn't seem like that bad of a phrase to stick on a door, does it? But Yedem Dezaina had come to mean something more down to earth, more gritty, more common sense, and that is, you get what you deserve. You get what you deserve. You get what's coming to you. And there's no mercy in that. Absolutely none. And for our old Adams, our flesh, natural man, apart from the Spirit of God, that's just fine. That's just fine. Those around us, they get what they deserve. Yedem Dezaina. They're nice to us, we'll be nice to them. If they help us, we'll help them. If they compliment us, we'll compliment them. But if they're mean, they deny us some help, say bad things about us, we'll do exactly the same. Yedem Dezaina. They get what they deserve. Now, who can argue with that? It is, for all intents and purposes, the way people relate to each other all over the world, in all societies. And if it were not, how else would we know instinctively how to treat someone else? How else would we explain why someone suffers and others don't? How else would we explain our attitudes toward others? Yedem Dezaina, to each his own, you get what you deserve. But wait a minute. How do we know? How do we know what another person deserves from us? I mean, how do we really know? Sure, it may be obvious, but how often in our lifetimes have we treated someone how we think they deserve to be treated? That is, on the basis of the way they've treated us. That is, the bad way they've treated us, so we've thought. Only to discover that we completely misunderstood their actions and what they were thinking and what they were saying. Yes, we treated them as we thought they deserved to be treated, but we, in our meeting out of justice, were dead wrong. So then what did we do? We backed away entirely from that Yedem Dezaina stuff. That is, with trying to treat each person around us as they deserve to be treated, because, well, we just couldn't figure that out. Yeah, what they were doing seemed to be wrong and hurtful both to them and those around them, but who were we to say? Yeah, how they expressed themselves seemed so hateful or shameful or narcissistic, but who were we to say? Yeah, they definitely seem to have really hurt themselves by what they have done, but who are we to say? So we learn to be merciful. We learn to be merciful the hard way. But oddly enough, mercy doesn't do that. Mercy doesn't back away from seeing the wrongs, the hate, the sin in others. In fact, mercy actually sees such things for what they are. But mercy still loves, and mercy still acts, and mercy still cares, even though there is wrong and hate and sin. Think here of how Joseph treated his brothers. Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery and told his father he was dead. He'd been ripped apart by a wild animal. Think of Joseph, who then was thrown in prison for refusing to sleep with his master's wife. Prison for doing the right thing. Think of Joseph, made the second in command over all the mighty kingdom of Egypt, having his brothers come groveling before him for just a bit of food to survive. Yedem Dezaina, you get what you deserve. He could have said that, Joseph. But he didn't. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, the Christians there who were trying to figure out how to live as Christians in a world in which they'd been ostracized by the Judaism in which so many of them had been raised for confessing Jesus to be the long-awaited Messiah, and made fun of for preaching that the God who they worship had been crucified on a cross. I mean, of all the people who had a right to live in derision of those around them, it was those first century Christians in Rome. For the Jews were wrong, dead wrong, in rejecting Jesus as their Messiah, because he was. And the Romans, they were just fools for rejecting Jesus as the very Son of God, for he was. Roman and Jewish persecution of the Christians was therefore wrong. It was unjust and it was unfair. Who did they think they were? Those Romans, those Jews. They should therefore be despised. They should be cursed and should definitely not be interacted with. For after all, who would want to be seen interacting with such people as if they were not the horrible people that they were, rejecting the living God, the only God? So is that the challenge for us today then? Are we afraid that if we actually do show mercy to someone, that that mercy will be understood as approval of the way that they live? Is that our problem? If we show mercy, will it be taken to be a support, a promotion of a way of living and acting and speaking, which is just evil? If we show mercy, will we be seen to be simply approving of and enjoying the world as it is? Is that our challenge? Well, a simple bit of logic would dictate that we will never show mercy to anyone if we never interact with anyone who needs our mercy. Do not be haughty, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Section from Romans 12 goes on. You can read it again there in your bulletin, and it ends there with this short assertion. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, again, if we never put ourselves in a position where we are confronted with evil, there'll never be a need for us to overcome evil with good. And the point is that evil is not condoned, evil is not promoted or approved of or celebrated as some sort of diverse way of life. For evil is not a diverse way of life. Evil is the way of death. That's what evil is. Evil is the way of death. And so evil must be overcome. Must be overcome with good. But the only way evil can be overcome with good is if the one who is good is merciful. So Jesus, the good, the sinless Son of God. So Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who daily and richly is merciful, forgiving our sins. So Jesus, the one who on the last day will return visibly to earth to judge the living and the dead. So Jesus, sitting at a well, speaking to a Samaritan woman, a woman despised because she was of mixed race. Jesus, sitting at a well, speaking to a woman who had been married 5 times. Jesus, sitting at a well, talking to a woman who was living with her boyfriend. Now, and you can read about this in John 4. Does Jesus celebrate the Samaritan woman's diverse way of life? Does he affirm her life choices? No. He offers her a better way of life. A life of the Holy Spirit of God. A life of the good. A life of the living, of living in the truth, which would lead to her life of peace and contentment and joy. But no such words of Jesus could have been spoken to her had he not shown her mercy as the one who is good, as the very Son of God, the mercy that our Father in heaven shows us daily in all that the Son continues to do for us. But Pastor, if I show mercy to such people, won't they get the idea that I care about them? Yes. Yes, they will. Even that you love them. But what they do and say and think really bothers me. And it should, because it's wrong. But evil cannot be overcome unless it's confronted with good. And mercy cannot be expressed unless it actually can be expressed. It's Luther who so often pointed out that we're able to love our neighbor and show mercy to them because we already have everything we need in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, we have life, we have salvation, and none of these three things is endangered by the showing of mercy on our part. In fact, the showing of mercy is an expression of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, the life in Christ, the salvation through Christ. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful is what our Savior Jesus taught us and what his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would have us be. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.